Good morning. God is good and all the time. Good. And I'm nervous, so all the time, right? But Well, we are in the sermon series "Journey to Jerusalem," and so James asked me to pray to preach about a month ago, I kept. Kind of having the same passage put on my heart, and it didn't really fit the series. And James said that was okay, and I knew that it was okay, and God can lead us different directions, but it's just so neat when I had a passage on my heart, and it did end up connecting. I think it was this last Thursday. I was in the Word and looking at different things, and God made the connection. So, because I knew Journey to Jerusalem, I knew it was Palm Sunday, and I wanted to incorporate those things. And it wasn't that I didn't feel like it was me wanting to incorporate it, but I did feel like it was God wanting me to incorporate those things. So, the title is God's plan for the nations, and it's in Isaiah 36. The bulletin says 38, so Isaiah 36 talks about Hezekiah. Isaiah 38 talks about Hezekiah. So, you know, I would recommend you read the whole thing after today. But yeah, if you want to turn to Isaiah 36, we're going to be mainly there, but we are going to jump around to a lot of different scripture. So I would recommend just staying in Isaiah 36 and then writing down the other scripture, because I do feel like I'm going to jump around a lot. But yeah, let's start there. Isaiah 36, 1 to 10. And so just a little bit of background. The king of Assyria is coming. In the reading, it talks about I'm going to call him the Rabshakeh. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but the Rabshakeh was just a high-level commander. So the king of Assyria is attacking Israel, Judah, the southern kingdom, and the Rabshakeh is the one who's talking. He's a high-level official. So Isaiah 36, I'm going to read 1 to 10. So in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And there came out to him Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against the land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against the land and destroy it.'" So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your true word. We thank you how it points forward to Jesus, how it points forward to the salvation that you have for the nations, how it points forward to your big plan. And Lord, help us today as we read your word, as we look at your word. God, I pray for the words of my mouth, Lord, that they would be glorifying to you, God. And I pray for the ears who are hearing, Lord, we pray that the people here would have ears to hear, Lord, that you would open their ears to know your truth, and know what you are saying to them, Lord. And we pray, that we would all be in awe and be in and seek to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we see the king of Assyria coming to Jerusalem. And so he, the king of Assyria, had a journey to Jerusalem. He was bent on conquering because he believed that he was fulfilling God's plan. And it is good to point out that God is using this king. God is using the king of Assyria, and we see that in Isaiah 10, 5 to 6. And this is God's word to the king. He said, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in their hand is my fury. Against a godless nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take spoil and seize plunder, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets." So God had called the king of Assyria to be an agent of wrath, to call judgment on nations. And if you guys know the story, Assyria has already conquered the northern kingdom. So there's Israel and there's Judah. God has already caused Assyria to remove Israel. And so he's boasting, "Oh, now I'm going to conquer the southern kingdoms." So, and if you think about that, if we read the Old Testament, it's kind of sad where Israel and Judah are. This was not God's plan for Israel and Judah. And so before we come back to Isaiah 36, I wanted to go over what was God's original intent for Israel, and I want to cover, well, how did they get to this point? How did they get to this such a low point where this foreign king is coming to conquer them? Okay, so the patriarch of the people of Israel was Abraham, and right at the beginning of God's calling of Abraham, we see that one of the purposes for the kingdom of Israel was that all the earth would be blessed. So I'm going to go to Genesis 12:1-3, and this is the original calling of Abraham. So, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And we see that phrase at least two other times to Abraham. So I don't have it up here, but Genesis 18:18, which is right after the covenant with Abraham. But the one I do have up here is Genesis 22. I'm going to read 15-18. And this is after Abraham was willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And again, we see the exact same phrase that the nation of Israel was that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Genesis 22:15-18. "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" And I think it's ironic right there in 17, it says, "And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies." And we saw back in Isaiah 36, that wasn't happening. So the nation of Israel was not meeting this plan to have all the families of the earth be blessed. And then even after Abraham died, God re-upped the promise. He said it again to both Isaac and to Jacob. And so I'm going to read those as well. So Genesis 26, 4-5. I think this is right after Abraham died. I will multiply your offsprings as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nation of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And then in Genesis 28, 13-14, we also see this promise in Jacob's dream with Jacob's ladder. So, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, again, God's original intent for Israel was that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's so I'm gonna say three things. That's the first one. So God's original intent for Israel was that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. The second intent was that all the nations of the earth will know the Lord. And we see that in Exodus 9:16. And I found this kind of interesting. This is actually the passage that the kids are going through today. And I've always found that interesting when we go through our devotions with our kids that you know how God connects everything. So this is Exodus 9:16. This is during the seventh plague in Egypt. So but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. And then we also see it in Joshua 4:23-24. This is referencing the crossing of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And then one last time we see how the nations of the Lord will know the God. This is when Solomon is dedicating the temple. In 1 Kings, so this is 1 Kings 8:41-43 and 60. So likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country of your namesake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. And then verse 60, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Okay, so again, the first two things, why did God, what was God's purpose for Israel? It was to, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and that all the nations of the earth will know the Lord. And then the last one is that all the nations of the earth will praise the Lord. And we see that in Psalm 67. Now, I chose Psalm 67. I could have chosen a half dozen psalms, because we see over and over again how consistent the Bible is, that the Lord deserves to be praised and that he will be praised from all the nations. So this is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So, how is Israel doing with these three things? Are the nations being blessed through Israel? Are the nations knowing who the Lord is? And are the nations praising the Lord? And again, sadly, we see in Isaiah 36 that that's not happening. They're not fulfilling their purpose. They're not fulfilling what God has laid out for them. And we see this, we read it in Isaiah 36:7. So again, this is the Rabshakeh speaking to the people. But if you say to me, why trust in the Lord our God? Sorry. If you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? So are the nations getting the real picture of God? And here, it seems like the picture that the nations are getting are, well, the God that Israel serves is not just a single God. It's all of these other gods. It's this God here that we serve under this tree, and it's this God over here that we serve under this tree. So the nations are seeing that the God of Israel is not one. And that was not God's intent. God's intent was that the people of Israel would know who the Lord is. We also see that in Jeremiah 11:13, which is a little bit after this time. It's after Hezekiah dies, but I thought it was a good verse to pick. So Jeremiah 11:13, for your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem. For the altars you have set up to shame, altars to make offerings to Baal. And again, we see the idolatry of Israel. They're not serving the one true God. They're the nations are not getting a clear picture. They think that, you know, God is a polytheistic, which we know that it's not. So, and then going back to Isaiah 36:13 to 20. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own vine and each one of his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern until I come and take you away to the land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? I almost got it. have they delivered Samaria out of my hands? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And that verse, again, are the nations truly getting a picture of God? I feel like that's the verse that makes me firmly answer no. The nations are not understanding who the Lord is. Because the king of Assyria thinks that the Lord of Jerusalem, the Lord of Judah, is like any other god. Like he lumps them all together. There's a few gods that have been destroyed, and none of them have been able to deliver. And even though God has called Assyria to destroy many of these nations, the king of Assyria still sees the God of Israel, the God of Judah, as every other god. So the people of Israel have failed in their mission. They haven't, again, let me go back. They haven't blessed all the nations. The other nations don't know who God is. The other nations don't praise the Lord. And so we're called to do the same thing as Israel. We're called to bless the nations. We're called to let those around us know the Lord. We're called to lead others to praise the Lord. And I know that not all of the promises that were promised to Israel apply to us, and not all of the not all the promises that Israel had can we can apply to ourselves. But those three things are evident in the New Testament. We see those in the Great Commission. So Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we've been called to do the same thing Israel has. And just like Israel, we fall short. And I was thinking about this last week. My family lovingly calls me Mr. Stomach. I recognize they do it lovingly, but I also recognize that many times I sin, because like in Philippians 3, my stomach is my God, and I think too much about food. I also struggle. I also struggle with money and not trusting God in my finances. This last week, I struggled quite a bit with my temper. It was spring break, and so everybody was home all the time, and we're getting ready to go places and to see people, and you know, there's a schedule to keep, and you know, I got angry, I got stressed, and I didn't trust the Lord. So, you know, I wasn't doing these things to my kids. I wasn't showing them who the Lord is. I was showing them my sinful nature. But just like with Israel, there's also hope. So we could, if we kept reading in Isaiah 36 and 37, God did not destroy Israel. He did not take them this time. He did eventually, but God showed them mercy. They deserved to be removed. They were not fulfilling what God had called them to do, but God showed them mercy. God continued to be patient with them, just like he's patient with us. just like he shows us mercy. But more importantly, we have the true king to lead us. We have something that Israel did not have. So going back to what I said at the very beginning, in Isaiah 36, the king of Assyria, he journeyed to Jerusalem, and he was bent on conquering because he believed he was fulfilling God's plan. And we see that that was not the case. He was not successful. He was not fulfilling God's plan. But here in Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. We see that he is the King of Kings. We see that he is bent on conquering sin because he is fulfilling God's plan, and he is successful. Praise God. So let's read John 12:12-15. So the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So in Jesus, the nations are blessed. And we see that in Galatians 3, 7 to 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And then we also see in Jesus, the nations of the earth do know the Lord. And we see this in Hebrews 1:3. He, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then in Jesus, the nations of the earth do praise the Lord. And we see this in Revelation 7, 9 to 10. So after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So Jesus is the one that allows us to fulfill those three things that God first asked Israel. Okay, I'm gonna repeat the three. So in Jesus, the nations of the earth are blessed. In Jesus, the nations of the earth do know the Lord. In Jesus, the nations of the earth do praise the Lord. So he is the one who calls us to take a part in that, but he is also the one that enables us to do that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you again that in you the nations of the earth are blessed. We thank you that in you the nations of the earth do know the Lord, and that in you the nations of the earth do praise the Lord. And Father, we pray that we would take part in that, God, that our actions would reflect the freedom that you've given us through your Son, Lord, would reflect the salvation that you've given us, Lord, and that we would cry Hosanna, that we would cry salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God, we pray that our actions would be glorifying to you, that the meditations of our heart would be glorifying to you, God, that we would lift you up on a daily basis as we continue to walk, God. And as we stumble, when we stumble, God, we thank you, God, that you are patient, that you show us mercy, God, that you allow us to be your sons and daughters, and you allow us to make mistakes, but you are always there to help us up and to point us in the right direction, Lord. We thank you for these promises. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your presence in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.